email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
So, this Saturday, for the first time ever, an Irish woman is heading to compete in the Tour de France Femme. And she's called Mia Griffin and she's on the line now. Hello, Mia. How are you?
Well, how are you, Brendan?
Very good. Thanks a million for taking our call. So, you're heading off. Are you there now?
No, I'm not there yet. I'm still in Ireland for the moment. I'm heading off tomorrow midday.
Very good. And how are you feeling about the weekend?
Yeah, grand. I'm not feeling too bad now. I had a bit of a gastro bug this week, So I'm just coming around the last 2 days. So it's kind of last minute feeling good.
Good. Well, that's your last little bit of bad luck parked there, right? So we leave that.
Yeah, I hope so.
You're excited and nervous, basically. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, exactly. Like a little bit of a mix of the both. I would say more excited rather than nervous.
So for people who don't know what the Tour de France Femme is, just describe where you're going and how long it takes and what happens.
Well, basically, it's the same idea as the Tour de France for the men, but we race over a little bit shorter distances and we don't race for 3 weeks like they race for. We have 9 stages rather than whatever they have, like 18 or whatever. I don't exactly know, but I think the difference between their racing and our racing is that for us, because it's shorter, it's really high intensity and really entertaining, I think, to watch as a sport. And also there's a little bit more to play for with the favourites, I would say, in the girls. It's more open, I think.
Oh, really interesting. Okay. So it could, as you say, like it could be anyone's race at this stage.
Yeah, I think so. There's a lot of contenders. But as well, it starts off in the north of France where there's some kind of hilly flat stages, and then it goes into the mountains then after that. So yeah, the flat stages are the ones that I would prefer, I would say.
Why is that?
Because the mountains, me as a climber, I'm just not a climber, and the sprint stages suit me better, where you have to sprint to the line and where you don't have to get over too much hills, because I would be, as a cyclist, on the heavier side, I would say. And I prefer the fast finishes, the big adrenaline, rather than going full gas up the mountain for hours.
Yeah, who doesn't? Tell me this, do you have a team with you?
I do, yeah. So my team is based in Switzerland, and all the girls on the team, actually, in this tour, all of us are from different countries. So yeah, some are one's from the Netherlands, from Poland, and other countries as well. So we have quite a varied team. So it's really nice. And I know the girls really well because I've raced with them all year, all over the world, really.
And so how does it feel? I mean, you're making history this weekend. You know, how does that feel? It's remarkable to be the first Irish woman to do this.
To be honest, it feels like, I would say, kind of normal. I know it's maybe weird to say, but because as well, possibly Fiona's definitely doing the Tour de France as well. She's another girl. She's from Limerick. And then I think Lara's also doing it as well. She's from Wicklow. And we're a group of cyclists that we've been to like all the biggest races in the world anyway. So it's nearly like a natural progression, I would say, to be doing the tour. So in a way, it's really nice that we're the first to do it. But because we've done all these other races, it just feels like normal to us in a way.
Okay. It's a natural progression. Tell me this. How do you become this level you're an Olympic cyclist, and how do you get to this? How did you start? How does a young woman in Ireland get into this?
I used to play camogie for Kilkenny, actually. And because I'm from Glenmore, down the south of Kilkenny. And I played that up until I was 17 when I started cycling. I tried out for a talent transfer program because my mom saw it. It was advertised in WIT. Well, actually, her colleague Bruce saw it originally. And then he said, oh, do you know anyone who'd like to try out for that? And then mom said, oh, yeah, my daughter. So I went in to the WIT or SETU, as it's known now, of course.
And then that's college. Oh, this is sports. The sports, yeah.
In the university. And then I just hopped onto a watt bike, and then they tested me over two little tests, one of 3 minutes and then one a sprint test. And then they said, oh, you have good numbers. And then they took me and seven other girls out of, I don't know, I think it was a hundred or a few hundred who tried out. And then I started cycling from there, and then it was all really a whirlwind and a lot of racing since then.
So your basic strength came from this original sport that you did, the camogie, and it turns out, just as luck would have it, it made you kind of a natural, and probably genetics as well, a naturally good cyclist. That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, I think actually what's interesting as well is that I feel like as Irish people, we're really naturally quite strong and explosive. And I'd say if you were to look at the GAA players in Ireland, if you were to put them into another sport, I think they could be really, really excellent with their physical attributes. I don't think I'm in a way like special. It's just that I went, I tried, and I just put so much time into what I'm doing. That's why like I can get the results from it as well.
That's very interesting. Someone needs to do a PhD study on that. So the background of explosive sports, which is stopping the start and, you know, sprinting and then not sprinting, gives you a good like level benchmark for other sports. It's very interesting, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. It definitely gives, even in hand-eye coordination, I know that's something that's completely different, but I think it transfers into so many other sports. So even like for people who want to get their young kids into playing sport, even GAA can transfer into so many other sports.
You were at a part of the Olympics in Paris last year. How was that?
Yeah, that was incredible. I was just talking about it and remembering just what was crazy about it was that cycling is normally not so seen in the media and everything, and just like the attention that we got as the team pursuit was crazy, and we'd never experienced anything like that, so we were kind of taken aback by it. And it was such a spectacular event to be involved in. It was really amazing.
And so how much preparation do you do? Are you training obviously every day now, or do you take a break now before the big race? Is that how you do it?
So I did my last like big training session, I would say, today.
Okay.
And then tomorrow I'll take a rest day. And then the day before I'll do an activation ride of an hour and a half with some efforts just to keep the body open before it has to go really deep in the first stage.
Yeah. Okay. You sound mentally very calm. You really do. You sound very focused. I see your dogs are out rooting for you in the background. Dogs dogs can sense my goodness, you see, that they can probably hear me. They love me.
For God's sake. I just think that he's just piped up now as soon as I'm on the phone. He was quiet all day.
I know. He's great. He's very welcome. I love dogs. I'm annoying people how much I love dogs. But I'm so excited for you, Mia Griffin. And we'll be watching with great interest. And we wish you the very best of luck. And you will come back and tell us how it went, won't you?
Yes, I will, of course. Thank you very much for having me anyway.
Yeah. I don't know what the official, but I think it's like, have a great race, yeah?
Yeah, have a great race. That works.
Have a great race. I really enjoy that. So thanks so much and best of luck. Thanks a million. Let's take a break.
Thank you.